21, are you recording?
Recording in progress.
You are, but no, that's fine. I might have to restart. Okay, we'll try again. Good evening, welcome to the Tuesday, December 14th, 2021 City Council meeting. Under the governor's emergency executive order, we are allowed to operate by Zoom. We have all the one member here. I believe that member will join us, but this allows people in the public to participate in Zoom land. We will start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all. Now, the most important part of the meeting, well, second most besides adjournment. Roll call.
Coke.
Here.
Transier.
Here.
Clocher.
Here.
Soling.
Here.
Funkhauser.
Here.
Merrick.
Here.
Tarulis.
Here.
Peterson's absent. We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Okay. I have no amendments to the agenda. We do have several presentations. First one, where's Tim? Tim, you coming in to lead this one? I thought you were, but you're awesome. We have the Flags and Valor presentation to American Legion. Tony, you alone here from the Legion? Okay, so you come on up. Don't we have a check or something? What do we have? So the Flags of Valor, we had that down at the Town Square Park. And what did you have, 130-something flags this year?
Oh, we had close to 150 flags.
150, and Shay's here too.
Yeah.
And Shay and Tim, just so you know, they were here almost all day because if they look tired and weary, it's because we had a budget meeting. And as you all know, I can be real nasty. Anyway, go ahead.
Pull it over here and then I'll move this camera a little bit.
You can talk first.
Yeah, no, I
just want your photo coming, but whatever.
Wanted to thank the American Legion on a partnership we've been working on over the last few years. It first started with the Flags of Valor in Town Square to recognize those that served in Kendall County. Each year it's kind of grown. It started off at 50 flags, and this year we're up to 150 flags. Just wanted to present them a check for $5,000 from the proceeds from the Flags of Valor. So all the proceeds from that people do sponsor flag goes directly to the American Legion and the great stuff they do for veterans here in Kendall County.
Thanks very much.
Well, they're doing a great job together collaborating. Tim and Tony, fantastic. And as you all know, we love to collaborate with people.
Can I say a couple words?
Absolutely.
I am the new commander over at Yorkville American Legion. I've been there now 1 year, and from where I started at to where we're at now, working with the city, working with different groups, we now work with the Knights of Columbus, St. Pat's Men's Club and everything. The amount of support that the Legion has gotten from the community, the city, Parks and Recs, what you guys do for us is amazing for our veterans, along with what we're able to provide for the community as a source of a place to gather, a place to host your kids for a ball game, family fun events. This is what the community is and what it should be doing. And for that, I just want to say thank you, and I look forward to being able to work with you guys for plenty of years to come.
We look forward to it as well.
Thank you again.
We have the Knights of Columbus from the Rudolph Run.
Yes.
Right, what they get? They're getting $1,000, right?
Yes.
Come on up, Knights. Who's taking this? You can all come on up. And Tim, talk about the Rudolph Run. How many people?
Shame.
Sorry.
Okay, so this year we decided to partner with the Knights of Columbus to create our Rudolph Run, which is a revamped run from our traditional chili chase that we always do the first or the weekend before Thanksgiving. So with this, we got proceeds for their it's their toy drive, essentially, for kids and families in need throughout Kendall County. So we are just really excited to not only have a really great event, but support the Knights of Columbus, as well as all the kids and families in Kendall County with $1,000. So
thank you. Thank you very much.
Supporting people from holiday cheer this year.
Thank you.
City Council and Parks and Rec, so thank you, Tim. The Knights of Columbus are pleased to be here.
and we're happy to try to, in some little way, to try to give back to our community. And we are very pleased to be partnered with Parks and Rec especially. So thank you for keeping us included in all this. Thank you very much.
Thank you guys.
This will go to the
Dukes. Group photo here. So here's our Knights of Columbus group. They help us out for all kinds of events. It's not just this. What else do they help you with?
They help serve beer at hometown days. Yeah. They serve ribs at Riverfest. A whole bunch of events. Whenever they can help out, they help out.
And being Catholics, the beer is a good thing.
All right, cheese. Great. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, so are we done handing out money today?
Job offers, no.
What's that?
Swearing in for a job.
Yeah, no, I guess we'll work on that. Okay, next, we have a new patrol officer. So Jim, that puts you at full complement, right?
32, full complement.
And Tyler, is it Lobville?
Yes, sir.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Yep.
Damn, that's pretty good. Well, come on up, we're going to swear you in. And you have your family too, right?
Do solemnly swear
that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the State of Illinois.
The Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties
of the officer of the Office of Patrol Officer.
Of the Office of Patrol Officer.
Of the United City of Yorkville Police Department.
Of the United City of Yorkville Police Department.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
Congratulations.
First of all, I want to welcome you both, Tyler and Mallory, to the YPP family, and of course this little one. So Tyler's joining our department, making our department fully staffed with 32 sworn officers. Tyler comes to us from, actually, he was from 0 to 5, he lived in Yorkville. You were a fox back then, which is good. And then he moved to Plano and has lived in Plano for pretty much the rest of his life. So he's a local Kendall County resident, which is great. It's always great to bring the Kendall County area back to the city. So today we have his wife Mallory and his daughter Monroe, who is 3 months old, 4 months old next week.
Thursday.
Wow. And then we have his mother Jamie, right back there. We have his father Michael, Alexis, his sister. Welcome. And we have his mother-in-law, Lisa Martinez. Where's Lisa? Hi, Lisa. And we have his grandmother-in-law, Garnet Bay. Thank you all for coming for this thing. So Tyler comes to us with some experience. He moved back to the area from the Roscoe Police Department. And so he comes with experience at York Police Department. For us, that's great, because now we have to send him to the academy. I know it doesn't have to be away from you for 14 weeks at the academy. So we're really excited to have you aboard, and really excited to have you join our family here at YPD.
Very
congratulations. Congrats, sweetie. Congrats, buddy.
Excellent.
Cross-eyed.
$2,027,963.83. Mr. Funkhauser, are you making a motion to approve?
Yes.
Is there a second by Plocher?
Yep.
Sorry. We need to do roll call on this.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Tranzier?
Yes.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Okay, next, we have the mayor's report. And I have my second mayor's report, where I have another stuff to talk about that's not on the agenda. I will talk about one thing here that's not written. And I told this person I would apologize, and I apologize to Mr. Koch. The last month he turned 60. And I think we might have a meeting that day. It was, or maybe it wasn't. No, Veterans Day, did we have a meeting? Maybe it wasn't. But it's, you're on 11-11.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Were you born at 11 a.m.? Is that when the armistice was?
No, you already had that one.
What's that?
You already asked that.
Did I? You know, my mother sometimes forgets. It's genetic, apparently, so. Anyway, well, Ken, congratulations. I apologize. I didn't remember that last month. It's. And we wanted you to get a bug shot so you could have one in your 50s. You started in your 40s. You've been here a while. Yeah, you, if you got one today, you could have had one from 3 decades. Anyway, congrats, Ken. And everyone else, birthdays I missed, I apologize, but that one stuck out. He's the only one turning 60 in this group this year, is my guess. Okay, next, under the mayor's report, we have a furniture purchase update, and we have in the packet a letter from the vendor that says they will guarantee the pricing until February 28th of 2022. I know we had some concern of voting on that before we knew what the cost of building was. And so hopefully this will satisfy you all that we'll just move to table this until February. So I thought I heard Mr. Merrick make a motion to table it until February.
No, sounds good.
Second by Koch. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Tranzier?
Yes.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Motion carries.
So, thank you. And on that, as I pointed out last month, we have an MM and a KK. And I was reminded, no hard feelings, there's a JJ. But on this side, we have a JP, a JP, and a JP. We have three JPs here. What's that?
He's so proud of
that. It's just something to talk about that's not so boring. So, excellent. So next we have the meeting scheduled for 2022. Looking for a motion to approve. Was that Mr. Solon? And Mr. Tranzier, do you second it?
I do.
Yes, excellent. Okay, Seaver, you're next, okay? Any discussion on this? Anything we need to be aware of?
Nope.
Roll call, please.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Tranzier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, next, I hear Mr. Tarullis make a motion to approve the ordinance authorizing and providing for the issuance of general obligation alternate revenue source bonds, series 2022, for United City, Yorkville, Kendall County, in the aggregate principal amount of $5,155,000 for the purposes of refunding outstanding general obligation alternate revenue source series 2011 bonds, and providing for certain capital improvements throughout the city, prescribed all the details of said bonds, and providing the imposition of tax to pay principal and interest on such bonds. I heard Tarullis, right?
No move.
Excellent. Is there a second?
Do a correction for the amount.
Oh, I have to do a correction for the amount.
Just so you have it on the record.
Oh, sorry. $5,170,000.
That was from the change.
Thank you. Second by Mayor. So, what I'm told is, Robert, where are you at? In the corner. Thank you. You know, as a kid in school, I'd sit in the corner of that. I was always in trouble, if you can believe that. So anyway, these were for 1.14%, correct?
Correct.
And we're saving over 4 years about $275,000 a year, or $275,000, sorry, not per year.
Yeah, about $70 per year, but $275,000 annually, correct.
Yeah, that's awesome. So just for voting on this, thank you all very much. Questions or comments that weren't answered, anything? Roll call, please.
Trinzier?
Aye.
Solling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarullis?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Oh, no. Thank you. Okay, now we're on to the Public Works report. Is there anything for Public Works?
There's no report.
Okay, thank you very much. Economic Development Committee, we've got something awesome here. And who is that? Yeah, who's second in here? Well, let's get a motion we can talk about. Mr. Funkhauser, you want to make the motion for this? Grant application? If you don't, that's fine, go to someone else. What's that?
I'll make it.
Oh, is there a second?
I'll second.
Mr. Cole? Okay, you know, I'll turn this over to Christy or Bart. Bart? Okay, thank you.
There's a nice cover memo in the packet, courtesy of our community development staff, Christy the director and Jason the senior planner, that itemized all of the projects we talked about in the last meeting, along with a nice narrative update, infographic of what we want to do. In general, it's a $4.586 million grant request for an award, hopefully of $3 million, and a local commitment of just over $1.58 million. Again, as we talked in prior meetings, most of that local match is plugged into our budget via the water fund for projects that we've already talked about and do. So that is the gist of the grant request.
Questions and or comments? One thing I will offer is I received some communication from a couple different organizations. One is really interested in this and potentially looking at doing the development downtown. And I said, if you can get any information to us on this, you know, before you submit the grant application, we think it'll help. And there's a possibility we can include something there. Another was just an organization down there, one that, I don't know if it's a business or what, but they have some buildings down there. And somehow we didn't communicate with them that we're doing this. This person saw it on the agenda. Some people read our agenda who aren't involved in the city, believe it or not. Not too many. I see the news might be paying attention for once. That's good. Not the local news, the regional news. The local news is always here. But nonetheless, we had somebody who represents one of the organizations downtown, and they contacted me and said, how can we help with support? We might want to do some facade improvements, and they saw that was included. And I said, hey, if you can send a letter. So we're getting a lot of interest. We really are. I think it's exciting. So, questions or comments? Any others? Roll call, please.
Solling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarullis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you all very much, and I know the staff thank you. This is going to be a great opportunity for us. Okay, anything else from EDC? Mr. Peterson? Nope. Okay, thank you. Public safety. And we did talk about that one item you and I discussed on the phone. We talked about it for next year's budget. So we're going to address that for you. Admin committee?
No report.
Park board?
No report.
Okay. Christy, anything from the planning and zoning?
No report.
Thank you. City Council, anything from City Council? City Clerk?
No report.
Chris, anything from community or liaison reports?
Nothing else.
Okay, anything else? Anyone? Okay, nothing of note. That's funny. Staff report?
No reports.
Okay, Mayor's report number two. Well, we have several items. My guess is this portion of me won't go quite as quickly, especially since I have more things to talk about that aren't on here. So first of all, I want to wish everyone Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Some of you I may not see until next year. Some I'll see before then. But anyway, thank you. And I just want to think about, we had a lot going on this year. We had a lot going on last year, we had a lot going on this year too. Now if you think about some of the positive things, and I just want to start from the beginning of the year, were you all very supportive of the vaccination clinic that we did over there at the new building? And Lynn Dubicek, I think I saw Lynn hiding in there. Lynn, again, spearheaded that. Thank you, Lynn. And I know I tell you this a lot, but your leadership there was fantastic, because without you, that wouldn't have been done. And I know the health department was integral, but you're the one who spearheaded. There were tens of thousands, 60 or 70,000, I think was the number I heard, people who received vaccinations or multiple vaccinations there. So thank you on that. Some of the other things, we're talking about the new building. You know, we're going to be getting some prices on that here in the next couple months. Later on this meeting, we're voting on a water source that'll be Yorkville's water source for 100 plus years. I think of some of those things, and how a lot of the businesses had just, you know, terrific years, and that's not always the case in other communities. Now we have our challenges, obviously, you know, with wasting passings, you know, so suddenly it just surprised us all. And then we lost a lot of experience on the council with Jackie, you know, retired. But overall, we have a lot to be thankful and grateful for, and I appreciate everyone's support, so thank you very much. Next, we have the city buildings update, or do we want to go to the water study building? Will that be? Let me ask y'all. Anyone have any real objections with what we're doing with the water? You want to go ahead and take care of that vote real quickly, and then we can let Mr. Hansen give his presentation, because that's really the last big item of business. Unless any of you object, I'm not planning an executive session tonight. Okay, I don't hear an objection to that. So, okay, we'll skip down. Sorry, Chris, it shouldn't take too long. We're going to go to item 5 under Mayor's report, the water study update. And is this one or two motions? We're doing two motions?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do have two motions.
Okay, so the first one, do you want to talk about all the barbers? Should we just get the motions rolling? Chris, you tell me. You like to follow the rules better than I do. Should we just get the motions, then we can talk if we want? Chris just made a motion to send Joliet a water source notification that we'll be using another source. Is there a second?
Sorry.
I think I heard Merrick over here. Okay, so Bart, anything you want to talk about with this?
This is just simply a formal direction to staff to notify Joliet formally in writing that we declined our offer to join them for the time being. So we verbally notified them, and we have been participating in their meetings for the past several months, but this kind of provides some closure to that.
Any questions or comments on that? We'll do a roll call, please.
Merrick?
Aye.
Cope?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Yes.
Soling?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, next, I'm looking for a motion to approve the resolution selecting Lake Michigan as a preferred water source and the DuPage Water Commission as a preferred water supplier to the United City of Yorkville.
So second.
Oh my gosh, I think I heard American again. Maybe I wasn't looking that way, and I saw Solon's hand next, so I apologize over here. I'll have to look this way next. What's that? Okay, no one's offended. That's good. You never know. Okay. Bart, anything you want to talk about here?
Yeah, the memo just outlines exactly what the resolution says. Again, this is formal direction from the City Council to notify the DuPage Water Commission that we would like to connect to their system and to effectuate all the intergovernmental agreements and financing and planning that goes along with that decision. So they are itemized within the resolution and in the memo. And again, there's no fees or costs associated with this decision yet. There's no legal commitment other than we're saying, staff, please go off in this direction and begin to work towards this outcome.
Questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Cope.
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you all for your support. That's a monumental decision. I know it's not the final outcome, but it's a monumental decision. I appreciate your support very much. Thank you. Now we're going to go back to item 4 under the mayor's report. We have Chris Hansen from KSNA. When did you go to KSNA? It used to be Kluber Skahan and Associates. Is that like 20 years ago or something?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, so Chris here led the charge on the facility study for Public Works, Parks, and CAT. And I think Bart forwarded the detailed study to all of you. But Chris, I think you have more of a summary. You're not going to go through every page of that, but you got kind of a higher level summary, correct?
Absolutely.
Excellent. Thank you. Worked out great for Chris. We wanted to have him here beginning of January. He wasn't available, but he said he had something to present at the county day. So he's like, you know what? I love New York. Let's just stay in New York for the evening. So go ahead, Chris. Thank you.
Thank you. My name again is Chris Hansen with Kluber Architects and Engineers. Let's see if this works. Part 2, Clicker.
Yes.
Relocated to that particular building, so we would actually be using a portion. of the existing public works facility for that purpose. We were also asked to take a look at Kendall area transit needs. I won't focus too much on that, but one of the concepts is, if Kendall area transit needed a site to develop on, could we accommodate them in one way or another on the different development sites? We actually did do a program statement for their portion of the work as well, and their needs are approximately 22,342 square feet. So on some of the development scenarios that you see going forward, you'll see exactly what that might look like if they were to be included as part of a project with the City of Yorkville. Now on the far right-hand side of the screen, the total square footage for the City of Yorkville is 111,000 square feet, and it's broken down by departmental area. I won't go into great detail on that tonight, but essentially, one of the reasons why we do this is we understand that the development costs for each of these components is different. Therefore, we need to identify the approximate square footage at the study phase that will give us an indication of a preliminary budget for the development work. I would like to point out that our particular team has extensive experience in doing public works facilities, and we are also in the process of doing the facility for the City of Aurora. And we've done a number of these facilities, so we have an extensive database of current costs. And current costs, as they've been reflected by the current economy and the impacts of COVID and material-related shortages, those have all been taken into account. But I'll review that a little bit later. One of the things was we wanted to sit down with each of the departments, Public Works, Parks, Rec, and Kendall Area Transit, to make sure that we understand what the major goals and objectives were for each of those specific departments. Again, I won't go through all of these, but just a few highlights. Public Works, we need a larger salt storage structure under roof, and material storage bins that are also under roof. We'd like an adequate space to keep the entire fleet and apparatus under roof and heated. This is not an unusual request. Just about every one of our public works clients starts here. And at the study level, we found that it's best to look at how can we accommodate that, what does that look like, so we have an overall picture to keep things under roof. They wanted to have a dedicated vehicle service and maintenance bay area to accommodate heavy and medium duty vehicle servicing. The concept that we were asked was to look at whether or not a portion of this facility could service the fleet not only for public works needs, but for also for other city purposes. So that portion of the space has been included in this design in a forward-thinking approach. For parks, the current park site is what we call single-loaded apparatus bays. It's a highly inefficient design that requires the vehicles to be jockeyed into position to load and unload each day. It also requires right timing of getting vehicles back into the building. So one of their requests was to have a more efficient garage layout space so they don't have to. They would like more apparatus and vehicles under roof and a more permanent outdoor material storage bin solution. Currently, they use Jersey barricades as their outdoor bin storage, portions of which are not under roof. The Recreation Department goals were to provide a remote park storage building for some of the equipment that services more of the remote park areas. Essentially, we're talking about things similar to like a two-car daily garage in terms of storage space for those types of needs. They want to improve the athletic equipment pickup for the groups that they service to the community and provide proper storage systems to house that athletic equipment that will be distributed in an orderly fashion. And they also want us to consider the long-range recreation department program offer that I think merits some further internal conversation. I won't go into the Kendall Area Transit goals other than their goals are fairly simple. We need vehicles on the roof. Their biggest problem right now at CAT is many of the vehicles are left outdoors and they have been vandalized over time, thus the need to have a secure site for that purpose. When we prepared site development options, we actually were asked to do two development options. We wound up doing four. A number of reasons for that. But in this particular case, I want to go through option A, B, C, and D in a linear fashion. We developed pros and cons for each of the development sites. Under option A, this is the current Home Depot site. This particular site is approximately 8 acres in size. We currently own the site, which is a pro. The entire City of Yorkville and CAT program pieces can be located on this site. However, it does not give you much room for expansion or growth past the 20-year development plan. And as you can see, with the various pieces on the site, it's actually rather tight, but the program pieces will fit to accommodate the 20-year expansion plan request. Some of the cons for this: it is a limited 20-year development plan. It is a little bit difficult to accommodate all the employee and public parking on the site. You are adjacent to some residential areas. And this particular property is part of a planned unit development that would require a modification to the planned unit development for this development to occur for this purpose. The site does include a salt dome, a small fueling station, as well as material storage bins at the north portion of the site that would have a roof structure over there. This particular development option, the portion that is associated with Yorkville, the construction costs of this option are estimated between $24.6 and $26.4 million. That's construction costs. The way our firm likes to work is we like to also give you project costs. What are project costs? Project costs include legal, administrative, fixtures, furniture, and equipment, AE fees, testing for construction, so on and so forth. So an overall picture approach for the project cost on option A is estimated to be $28.6 to $30.7 million. The CAT portion of the project is an additional $5.6 to $5.9 million. Their project cost would be $6.5 to $6.9. So the grand total of this development option, if CAT were to be included, is $35.1 to $37.6 million. Now, what I do want to point out is a portion of the CAT budget includes a prorated amount for sharing of the site improvements for the development of this project. And we simply did it on a prorated basis based on the overall square footage of their need for the project. That estimate was $295,000 to $323,000 of the site development cost based on their prorated share. And that's included in your package. Option B explores the same property without CAT. We've repositioned the building slightly more towards the center of the site. And this does, again, limit you to only 20 years. However, there is more circulation available for the longer fleet vehicles on the site. It just simply flows a little bit better. Again, cons are, we're still on the same property. It will require an amendment to the PUD. preliminary budget for this design option without CAT is $25 million to $26.8 million. With project costs at $29 to $31.2 million for the total on option B. Option C, we looked at what might we be able to do to reduce costs if we were to look at the development option that splits portions of the program on two individual sites. One site being the Home Depot property, where we would keep Public Works only on this north parcel with fleet maintenance, and then locate Parks and Rec on the current park site. The current park site, which is the image on the right, includes an expansion for a parks garage on the southern border of the property, new material storage, and then a renovation of the current building that you own at the northeast portion of the property. This particular split option, the overall construction cost for the Public Works site is $17.3 million to $18.6 million. Again, this is the Home Depot site construction costs for Public Works. The project costs for that site are $20.1 to $21.6 million. For the addition and renovation of the current parks site, the construction costs are $6.4 million to $6.9 million, with total project costs at $7.4 to $8 million. The total for the split site project costs are $27.5 to $29.6 million under the split development option. So after we presented three development options to the staff and administration, we were asked a more profound question. It appears that the current sites that we have are only going to limit us to a 20-year plan. Should we not take a look and also consider, for the amount of dollars that we're talking, the potential to find a property that might be better suited for a longer range objective? So we said, why don't we just look at what the ideal parameters might be if we were to look at another site option? And essentially what we came up with is, for a 100-year plan, we need a minimum of 12 acres of land where water management, stormwater management, occurs off property, or a 15-acre parcel to accommodate stormwater management on site. This particular quick development option that we presented here on the screen suggests that the ideal site would be roughly 600 feet wide and approximately 950 to 1,000 feet deep. The primary reason, as you can see on what would be the southern half of this image, that will allow for future expansion of the facility. The one thing we've learned in doing public works facilities over the years is eventually there will be expansion, and we need to make sure that we understand how that will occur, where it will occur, and that we plan for it with the initial design. In this particular case, the site not only flows better, but it does allow for that to occur, which was one of the requests of the team doing the development options for the village. In this particular case, some of the cons. Well, you'd have to purchase a parcel. But the pros are, we can start with a parcel that actually meets the requirements, is shaped properly if we find the right piece, And it will be a better scheme at the end of the day, in our opinion. The cons, like again, well, we have to purchase property, and there is some cost to that. The ideal situation would be to find a property that has utilities adjacent to it or immediately on it. Not a piece of open farmland where we need to extend all those utilities to service that site for you. And it's also ideal to have a site where we essentially don't need to move a lot of dirt to create a path for the building and pavement. I know there's some properties here available in town that would probably suit this need pretty well. Under this development option D, we have included a site acquisition allowance, and our construction costs for this facility are estimated to be $26.7 to $29.1 million. Even though we do have a reasonable amount for property acquisition based on current rates of properties within the city of Yorkville for consideration. The total project cost for this project option is $31.0 million to $33.8 million. One of the things I want to point out to all of you is the last year and a half, we've seen a dramatic upswing in construction values and pricing and material shortages that have basically, even getting materials to the site, they're paying now a premium. These figures account for that under our current market condition. However, we are beginning to see a correction in the market, and we watch it very closely. We're going to be building, or we're designing, what's going to be probably the largest public works facility in the state of Illinois this year, which will help us benchmark where we're at on a cost per square foot basis. I strongly believe we're going to see a correction in the market by the end of next year. What does this mean to all of you? I believe we're going to see about an 8 to 10% correction to these numbers based on the development timeline. So I think that's positive news. I'm simply communicating that forward. And this is information that we have in our database, but it's also coming from contractors and suppliers that we work with on a daily basis. So I'm just simply letting you know that we do see some of that market beginning to correct itself. We were asked to just put together what would a rough idea be if we were to proceed and look at building this building project. How long might it take? The design phase, which includes schematic design, design development, and construction documents, we have estimated between 5 and 8 months of time. Bidding phase, approximately 1 to 2 months, with construction occurring approximately 10 to 12 months in duration. All of that, of course, on the construction side depends on when and the availability of materials. Close out for the project in an additional 1 to 2 months. So roughly, from the beginning of design, if you were to move forward, it's approximately a 16 to 24 month process. And again, that's just simply based on our experience with projects that are very similar, and we were asked to take a look at what that might look like. Again, the caveat there is availability of materials. So that's a lot to absorb. I'm sure you have a few questions, and I'd be happy to go back to any slides for those questions that you may have.
Questions and or comments? Mr. Funkhauser.
If we look at option example, we're splitting things out, that actually looks like we're repurposing part of our land. In any scenario, other than option B, we're repurposing our land in order to utilize that for Parks and Rec, but that is not included in option D.
One more time.
So the Parks and Rec's 5,000 is being used in Power Lane.
Power Lane is going to be repurposed in all options.
In all, and that includes option
yes.
C. Okay.
Correct. That would principally be used for the bulk of materials storage.
And
again, seasonal decorations like what you have in your square, things for Park and Rec, small vehicles to service the activities here in Central. So in all options, that would be repurposed.
Now, I just wanted to try to clarify. So Tower Lane, there's three primary structures on that site. The shed that we have, the north building, and then the control building, the main operation building. Are all three being repurposed, or is it just this one in the north end for storage?
Excellent question. So actually, the furthest north building is part of your wastewater processing and treatment. That would stay regardless. The far southeast building, I'll call it, which is just east of the water tower, that's the current vehicle garage space. That's the building that we are looking at keeping a portion of that, that's the newer piece, which is the northern half of that. To the west end of that site, there's a current building about 1,600 square feet. It's more like a barn. That building would not be used. And then on the west portion of the property, just north of that barn, as Bart is showing on the screen, that is your material storage bins. The plan is to still keep those material storage bins in that location and reuse them as more of a local distribution point for those materials. Also adjacent to the east barn, there is currently an above ground fueling station, right where Mark just had his cursor, yep, right there. The fueling station would be entirely relocated to the new site. It would be an underground system with a canopy, and that is included in the cost. And the salt structure is also included in the development costs under all of these options.
All of the costs, as you just said, again, all the building costs, redevelopment of this site is included in all options.
Yes. Basically, all we're doing here is we're going to take down
a little bit
less of the portion of the building, and we're going to keep what's left to be used however you so choose. The best portion of any of those buildings out there, though, is the northern portion of the southeast public works garage.
And then in any scenario, it is full. Still being utilized?
Wolf is only being utilized if we do a split site option with Parks and Rec being on that site. Thanks.
Other questions or comments? Mr. Peterson.
So you're foreseeing there's going to be a market correction by the end of next year. Is there a way that we can have that built in somehow so that we can take advantage of that?
Well, I think the key here is when you look at the development timeline that I have, you know, design is going to be an iterative process, and that's going to take several months.
16 to 24.
So depending on when you want to proceed, the good news is that market will be hopefully correcting itself as we're going about design. I know you have a project going for your Village Hall that hit right in the middle of all of this, and I'm sure there were some surprises you weren't aware of. Mm-hmm. We're very conscious of those dollar amounts where they're landing right now to make sure that we're advising you on the best approach for this. And I think even creatively with design, there are ways that we can scale back the costs. But keep in mind, when we look at it at this level, conceptual design with very little development or mechanical plumbing, electrical, you know, in detail, we have to use a relatively conservative number to start with to make sure we're in the right ballpark from a finance standpoint.
So
I believe they're going to come down.
Chris, just to clarify, the 16 16 to 24 months is from the beginning of design to the end of completion of the building?
Of construction.
Okay. Yes. So it's through construction, not design?
No.
Okay.
Design is only 5 to 8 months, about a month or two for bidding and contracting, and then 10 to 12 months of construction.
So if we just, I'm not suggesting we're doing this today, but if we were to start today and said, go do this, it's next year at this time before we're getting bids, big packages, or bids
It'd
together.
Be 8 months from now, so we'd be in August or September.
When we go out to bid or when we got it?
When we would go out for bid.
And then another 30 days or so, or, yeah, so.
Now traditionally.
That gets us a year from now.
Traditionally, our best and most competitive time to bid is early January. So, keep that in mind, because there's a lot of contractors that like a sizable project and they're looking to set their schedules for the year. Public work especially, and all public works projects that we've done are almost always bid either December or January. And again, we're right timing that because we're bidding in January, we're awarding in February, we're not breaking ground until March, which makes sense in our plan. We're not going to move a whole lot of dirt in February. So we're right timing the market that way as well.
Other questions, Mr. Peterson?
I don't think so. Thank you.
Others? Mr. Cope?
I think the first step's got to be find the right piece of property. And I think that could take you a little bit longer too. So you're actually probably looking at a year.
Yeah, it's not bidding
or doing that stuff a year from now. Maybe going that time you property to get that out of the picture.
Yeah, and originally on the schedule, I failed to mention that I have about a 3 to 4 month window in there for acquisition if you were to choose to look at the parcel. That can get you working.
Other questions? Comments? Mr. Monkhauser?
So a couple things that I picked up on is our salt storage facility. Obviously, public works look for a bigger dome. That's just operations. That's not our annual storage that we have with the water with the county. That's just what came for operations, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then flexible space for meetings within public works. Is that something similar to what Oswego has with their large space? For public use, that's our just kind of fallback or at least that's really large meeting.
Yeah, the request was specifically because the new city hall, the police station, has a couple multi-purpose rooms, but one of the biggest ones is the chamber. To actually have a set up training specific room that we can either host regional trainings or an all city meeting comfortably to be able to get all the staff in the same room. So there are things like that when we're talking about total price and it's an ideal solution. You ask for, the staff wish list, this is it, and, you give us 100% of everything that we ask for, then it costs what the architects are asking.
Well, I think the other piece to add on to what I mentioned in regards to the larger meeting space, because they're relatively expensive to construct, we also make sure that we multi-purpose the space itself. So it actually was designed with a request to actually have a dividable wall, so half of it will be for staff or lunchroom space. And that lunchroom space and the adjacent kitchenette would then support a larger meeting or gathering. The space is set up to handle more than 120 people. And just to give you an idea of magnitude.
It is large. All right. And then the last one as I'm looking at option A. That's a with cat option, 35 to 37.6 million. So that's an 8 acre parcel. But then we're looking at option D, which is the 100-year plan, 12 acres at $31 to $33 million. So for soup to nuts, A to D are two different parcels. The one D is significantly smaller, is actually several million dollars more. As I put through the numbers, I'm trying to understand.
So,
logistics on that.
Okay, let me explain just a little bit about CAT. CAT never came to contract with us. And when we looked at the idea of a purchased parcel, we looked specifically only for the needs of the city of Yorkville at this time. But the key was, the question I received was, but we want to know whether or not in the future, if CAT decides to join us, can we accommodate them? And how much parcel would we need?
So when we go through and look at option D, even though the plan shows CAT, is CAT not incorporated into the costs?
It's not in the cost on that one. So apples to apples.
So apples to apples is really the 24.6 to 30.7 on option A.
Of construction cost, yes.
That, exactly. Okay. So that makes a little more sense to me, just making sure that that's
you're that reading that perfect.
Okay.
And when we did our budget developments, just so everyone can see, we do show your ranges of cost per square foot based on the actual different areas of the building. And I will say, your highest expense spaces are usually the vehicle and fleet maintenance areas because we have the additional equipment for vehicle lifts. The vehicle lifts are included in this number. They're not a piece of equipment that's a surprise to have. They're in.
Other questions, comments?
The only thing I missed. The thing that struck me is kind of standing out is the 100-year comment. You know, when we went through the PD City Hall, you know, 20 years was our kind of our sticking point in time. We don't know what's going to happen beyond 20 years or 10 years. But for us to say, okay, this is a end all be all site of 100 years, I mean, that's it is shooting for the stars. It's aggressive. Who knows what we will need or won't be in that time. So that's my only concern about that.
Now, if I could address that just briefly. The site acreage and development comes from our experience with other public works sites based on geographic region of the area that you're serving, the number of paved miles that we talked about, the potential future development properties that may come into the city that they will need to maintain, and how many vehicles does that technically add to the fleet. So we worked very well with Eric and his team to make sure that we understood what they're thinking in that regard as it relates to space. So when we say a 100-year plan, what we're saying is we're confident that based on what we know for the 20-year plan and how they're managing the current miles and our experience with other developments, we'll just take Aurora because they're very large, we can look at the number of vehicles per paved miles as an example, just for plow trucks, and get relatively close to understanding what that would be if you were at that population in the future. And what is that increment in between look like? And how does that relate to space? We have all that math and we've done that research. So that's how we came up with 12 and a half acres roughly if stormwater is off site and 15 if it has to stay on site. And we're fairly confident just based on your boundaries. Unless those significantly change, which we're understanding they won't significantly change. And we looked at those development areas as part of the initial design, and we're pretty confident that that amount of acreage should support you for a long time.
Mr. Fletcher?
How long have you been at Tower Lane?
Since 1974.
Yeah, probably so it's a little longer than 20 years.
That's 47 years.
Right.
Mr. Koch?
I've heard a couple times you mention kind of throwing Aurora out there right now. I think you also have to consider Aurora has a lot more financial abilities than York with us. That's something when I hear that right away, I'm thinking, yeah, we don't have near the commercial and near the revenue that comes in Aurora has. So
well, that's good.
Be very careful of that.
I only mention that because that's currently on the books and we're looking at the cost per square foot numbers as it relates to space. But I will also point out that one of the things our group did not get to do yet is we also developed the Village's South Elgin's facility, which we would like to go tour. And we just recently wrapped up the Village of Pingree Groves about 3 years ago, which is another facility we also would like to tour. Both have different geographic boundaries and number of paved miles served, essentially. But basically, you are slightly larger in terms of geographic area served than you would see up in South Elgin. And South Elgin's facility is about 80,000 square feet that we opened for them about 5 years ago now. And in terms of the square footage, your increase is really because you have a bigger parks department and you have more fleet than South Elgin does, because they don't have quite the extensive number of vehicles and apparatus. So square footage-wise, what I'm saying is as a comparable to South Elgin, with the additional parks fleet, the 111,000 square feet that we projected is a pretty good number.
Other questions or comments? Chris? Chris Hansen. No, Chris Funkhausen. Just to reiterate, the building is not being designed for 100 years. We're just identifying the amount of land based on your expertise in seeing how the town, the amount of land we think will leave for 100 years.
Correct, yeah. The goal all along was always the 20-year plan, but I think when the group started to look at the preliminary budget projections, the simple question is, well, it looks like we're getting to the maximum use of, say, the Home Depot site. Doesn't it make sense at this cost to look at an open parcel to meet a longer range need? The 100-year just came up as part of the discussion to make the point that perhaps we should be looking further down the pipe to make sure that the parcel that we have will allow for future expansion. So that's what we did, and that's why we did the curved option. Just to give you an idea of what that might look like.
This is Chris.
So I'm looking to kind of try to take one of these out of the equation. The split option, Parks and Rec and Public Works. Obviously there's inefficiencies with two different facilities, but more question I guess for staff. How, in terms of efficiencies between the two parties, how important is it to keep those two together?
Well, it's very important in my opinion. Peter Park has been difficult. You end up with duplicating equipment and services. And for scheduling, it becomes hard because you're not with each other.
And then fleet maintenance, I assume, is all done the same.
Same thing. Especially now when we're looking at combining it and actually doing it citywide. You know, so it would mean, you know, it's a much bigger, better facility, and that's where every fleet would bring their equipment.
So in order to more efficiently serve both departments, to put them together, and that's what I'm kind of trying to look at is we have multiple facilities now. If we keep parks of multiple facilities, that's why I'm questioning, you know, the options that still retain part of how the land is being storage and whatnot. Anything that's, you know, anytime you slow down is less efficient if you're running around back and forth. If we can get rid of those, if there's any possibility to get rid of them, put it all into one, then, but
in Tower Lane, that we're always going to maintain
that
boundary.
Yeah. Operation, but if we can minimize what's there and not have them in the buildings, that's kind of what I'm trying to figure out. Is there a way to combine 95% of what we
have? Well, I think that's really what we're addressing. The question becomes, you know, are we willing to afford $30 million or whatever, 28 or 32, whatever numbers, is that what we have an appetite for? And I'm not asking to make that decision today, but I think that's really the... That's a nuts and bolts question. How much do you want to spend? How much are we comfortable recommending to spend?
Like, how much is it going to be operating the additional buildings that we do as compared to one main facility? So that's, as we go through this discussion, I'm going to want to know some operational costs, possibly on some of these other pieces if we're going to try to keep them operational.
I think some of that, Chris, and I'm not trying to dismiss it, because it's a very valid question. That's one of the reasons we went down this direction of trying to combine everything. I think some of that, it's going to be hard to put a dollar amount on. It's just, things are going to be, it's going to maybe take more time to do certain functions. But in the end, if your bond payment is X, and you have all these other obligations, including staff, Y, and Z is the total dollars you have, it's just what it is. And I don't know a good way of doing that. I mean, staff would come up with some ideas of, hey, this might take 15 minutes longer, this might take 20 minutes longer, whatever. But they're not going to put together a whole study on that. So
I'm not asking for that. It's just, you know, operations of the cost of buildings to maintain multiple buildings. I mean, the point of having a new facility is to try to combine it, make it
most efficient, most cost effective.
Yeah, I know, I agree.
And so I'd rather not keep little sheds here and there if we don't need them.
So let me ask you this, and maybe you're not ready to answer this, and if you're not, that's fine. Are you comfortable with spending, we don't know the number, but today it's 30, 32 million, you know, when you include land acquisition, if we need to go to something bigger than the 8 acres, are you comfortable with purchasing a piece of property, finding one that works, putting it up, the whole project, it's 30, 32 million, maybe if we do it in a year, it comes down 2 or 3 million because, you know, Chris's projections are right, and then selling these other parcels and getting $2 million maybe. I mean, we got an appraisal on the Home Depot one. My guess is based on what the market is for that building down there in the industrial park, maybe we get $1.25 million. I mean, that might be pushing it. And again, I'm not saying you're wrong, just these are the things we have to go through our minds.
But it's all part of the discussion that we have to have.
And I would add something to what you figure or what you're comfortable with. Think about, okay, we just bonded $8+ million for the PD City Hall. We got huge water. There's going to be some more expenses coming there, I really think, too, down the road.
But water, absolutely, we know that.
Yeah. So we need to really think about the other items being stacked on top of this. So just we should really be careful about when you figure what, when you say what you're comfortable.
So
I don't know what the number is.
Okay. Listen, you can all have different ideas, and I don't, as I told all you, I don't mind having a discussion. But if, and I'm not taking this as you're all telling me, no, I'm not taking this at all, but if you come back with, I don't like this, I want you to have, well, let's think of this. Because one thing we know, and I've said this, and I think we all said it when we did a planning session a couple years ago, we need a new public works building. So the answer can't be, because we're doing some of these other things, we can't do public works. Now, is it going to be scaled back from us? That's a possibility. That might be a comfort level. But we have to keep in mind, we got to come up with a plan so we can improve the public works and operations. Because the way it works now just isn't really efficient for a town of 23,000 people. So.
Like, what are new truck spots?
What's that?
Like, what are the new truck spots? If we can even get them. Or like when parcels outside or a leaky building. It's way past due.
I don't disagree with that part. I just think you have to be careful about where you set your tops.
So the water, and again, don't take this argument. The water, I agree, it's going to be an additional cost to the residents. But we've said from day one, and we've repeated it every meeting, other than tonight, I didn't repeat it with ABC here, darn. We repeat at every meeting, we know we're going to have to pay more for water, and we know it's going to be a tap on fee. We can't absorb that. That's going to, the water rates are going to go up. So I get that, but to me, I don't look at this as we don't raise water rates. This is a separate discussion than water to me. The water rates, we've got to address the water. And we also have to address this too. And just to give you an idea, $30 million in bonds is probably, in today's money, $2 million a year. I don't know where Rob is. Is Rob still around? Yeah, because it was about 70 grand for a million. You know, so every million's another 70 grand a year. So
what's that on the tax bill? That's not one that we could easily.
Well, when you say what's that on a tax bill, we're not suggesting to levy the taxes for this. Well, that's not the suggestion at all.
We're going to, well.
So if you say it was 200 grand?
What's that?
Bond payments for how much?
2 million for 30 million. Yeah, 70 grand roughly per million. Right. So if you have 30 million, you know, might be 2.1, might be 2.03, depending on the rate.
5% of your Disney tax bill from the city portion. And then City Hall, that 8 million is no matter how much.
Off the top of my head, I don't remember. We do have that a bunch of them without any additional financial issues.
So here, just one of the things we've talked about internally, and you know, we obviously, because we don't have a plan, we're not presenting this, but this is what we've talked about internally. We really feel it's not out of line to say, you know, One third of this should come from the sewer fund. One third of this should come from the water fund. One third of this should come from the general fund. Because we use it for sewer operations, we use it for water operations, we use it for, you know, plumbing in general, whatnot. So if you take 700,000 out of, let's say, the water fund, that's the equivalent of roughly $7 a month per household. And today, you know, as the number of houses grows, it's, you know, becomes a little less. Just maybe that helps you. And I'm not saying we have the money or don't have the money. We haven't even delved into that yet. I just know those are the dollars you're talking about.
Right. So I can understand that logic of taking out the, you know, the actual utility funds. What about Parks and Rec? Is there a correlating number that would come from Parks and Rec to, you know, offset?
I mean, you could say that the Parks and Rec's funded out of general fund.
They're funded out of general fund, yeah. But it's one of those we have to, you know, they're getting a benefit out of this. So I would say, okay, we need to allocate something.
And if you're right, if we want to do the whole thing, or maybe we say, you know what, we just can't afford it, we just do public works, and Parks has got to deal with that building there until we can afford to expand it. I'm not saying that's what we should or shouldn't do, but those are discussions, yeah, those are real discussions. But again, to me, I look at it as one-third is the general fund. So maybe you're saying 40% should be the general fund and 30% of the other two funds. Yeah, those are ways we can look at it, absolutely. Mr. Peterson.
So are some of you guys suggesting that maybe we redefine what right-sizing really means for us, scale some of it back to get a better idea of what we could have instead of these options? What do you think?
My feeling is this. I'm just talking what I think. Again, Chris, you asked a question, or you didn't, I don't know if you asked a question, you just kind of threw out, how do we eliminate one of these options? I think I heard you say something. I think the easiest thing to do is that Home Depot property. It can't go beyond 20 years if we're going to do this all. To me, it makes no sense. And I know you wouldn't want it there because you're neighborhood anyway. And I'm not saying you're right or wrong. But why do we want, and this is where the question came, why do we want to put that kind of money? And to your point, Mr. Poulter, we're going to be back in this situation. Maybe it's 20 years, maybe it's stretched 30 years, whatever it is. We know the town's going to grow. Why the heck would we want to put that kind of money in a facility that it just doesn't make sense? So to me, that's the easiest option right there. Just chuck that one out the window.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me too, because I would be in favor of something bigger.
Yeah.
So when you go that way, you eliminate the standalone cannonball property. But then you have the idea of, do you split out, and not saying you split it out as the cannonball property, but do you split it out between existing properties and a new acquired property of some acreage, or do you just do it all? So I guess that's kind of where we end up now. Do we still want to split, or do we want to go one facility?
Yeah.
That's kind of the...
That could be not necessarily a problem. Still, you find the right parcel, how you divvy it up, that parcel, how much you put on that one piece versus a different piece, you can still work with that.
Yeah, I think the default investigation will lean towards consolidating the two sites, but we're not eliminating separate sites off the table just because it's going to be site-specific.
Yeah.
So if we find the right property and it's only 10 acres, and there's some reason that we want to keep separate sites for continuity or use or something or long-term issues,
the wolf tower, yeah. New site might be right. More viable.
Yes.
Yeah, I think where Jason kind of alluded to maybe looking at the scope a little bit, if there's a way to possibly tighten it up. Maybe not $32 million, that's not a lot. If there is 8 to 10% of correction in the next year, that's great, but if there are also areas that we can be more efficient, that would be. Let me ask you a quick question. This is from my work. What's the construction class that we're looking at? Is tilted up steel beam, what type of?
Typically, the majority of our clients will look at a precast, so it would be a type 2 construction precast with hard roofs, metal deck roof, flat roof system, roof cap equipment. And if I might add, I think that a couple of areas that I would suggest that you can consider to save money is the size of the salt structure requires more often and more frequent
reordering, refilling, but there may be some dollars to be saved there. What we looked at was the size to accommodate a yearly event. Once a year, loaded, and it sits. We may want to reconsider that to save a few dollars to still have a new salt structure, but maybe there's a more frequent reload. So that's something to consider. The other thing to consider might be a slightly scaled back fuel station. What was requested was underground tanks of a certain size for the different fuels that we need to have, but can we get by with something maybe a little bit smaller to save a few dollars on that yard as well? So these are all things that we were asked to look at. What would the wish list look like for an operation of our size based on Kluber's experience in doing these facilities? And this is what we recommended. But it's not to say that we can't look at areas to save costs. I think the key here is all of our design and preferred design schemes have what's called a drive-through apparatus bay, which basically means a center aisle and parking on the sides for diagonal. Why do we do that? Because we never have to wait for anybody to put in a piece of apparatus. When you're done, you're done. You park it, and you can get out. That is the preferred option. One of the ways to save square footage is we don't do that. Now we're adding multiple overhead doors, and we know what happens with multiple overhead doors. They eventually get hit, and we're replacing them. So we prefer the drive-through option. I think working with the team, that's the preferred option. And I think from a flexibility standpoint, it makes the most sense. But we could look at reducing the aisle width slightly, but still make it functional and save a little bit of square footage. I would suggest we strongly look at whether or not we need to have a big multi-purpose room to hold 120 people.
What's your off-the-cuff say that costs? I mean, we'd probably still need a lunchroom.
I don't recall, but I can get you those.
Okay.
What was the idea when we were going to do it over at the
2 mil?
2.5.
But we're not in that ballpark.
That's not that level of
finish. It's not that level of finish. But I think these are areas that we dove into with the team that I believe we can potentially shrink this building a good 10%, but still give the staff what they need with realistic expectations in areas that I think there might be a slight advantage to the square footage. Again, bring those numbers down.
I think that would be great if we could at least look at it, but I'd like it a la carte so that we go back to Eric and say, if we shrink that salt dome, now you lose the option of hedging on salt futures and saving money in the long haul by pre-ordering all our salt for the year. Things like that. So when you spread that out over years, how much money are we saving by reducing that and then not being able to hedge our bet on salt futures?
So,
you know, that's just one example, but.
I'm going to answer question with a question, but here it is from a designer's perspective. I need to know what your tolerance is as well. Because we will spend endless time looking at 100,000 here and 100,000 there.
Right.
The ultimate goal is it's 25 million and we're at 31. We got a lot of work to do as a team to get you there. Can we get you there? Sure. But then there's going to be some compromises that need to occur, and we just need to make sure that we're advising you as to what those items are.
And from our standpoint, we've got a lot of people, 23,000, to answer to from the water, City Hall, now the public works. Not saying we don't need it, we absolutely need it, just what is right side for us actually meaning. And we want to make sure that it's going to work for us in the future and not, hey, let's downsize it, but then now we're missing out on other stuff that we should have not downsized on.
Right.
Eric, comment.
I just had one thing to kind of add on to Chris Hansen's idea. If we have the alternate site, not the Home Depot site, which sounds like it's kind of like one of the not supported one now, even if we lose 10% of the building, that other site is much easier to add on to. It could be built as such right from the beginning to add right onto that concrete structure as we grow.
Correct.
So that's just something to keep in mind as well.
Well, you know, the request that Eric had with his team is let's get all the apparatus equipment under roof and heat.
another viable option, as long as you have the space to expand, is that some of the apparatus could go under a roof in a lean-to section of the building that we absolutely did not explore. But if you think about that, if you could take, I'm just going to say, roughly 15% of the fleet apparatus and put that under a lean-to, we just saved a fairly significant amount of dollars. It's still sheltered. And it may work just fine for them, because we did talk about those options early on.
And you're talking like a cold storage.
We're just simply saying a shed roof extension outside of the building, and it's all open. There might be a little couple wing walls, but basically right. It's just open storage.
Keep the sun and rain off it. Keep the sun and rain off it.
Yes.
If the snow blows, it's going to blow in there.
Yeah, so jersey barricades, roadway signs, you know, all those things that don't really need to be anything but protected from the weather elements, we put those back outside. The vehicles that you spend a lot of money on, those go into it. Things that have plow blades on them. Ideally, a lot of times we see clients save money, but they put the plow blades outside. That is an absolute disaster as it relates to cost. They rust, the hoses rot, and there's more maintenance than you can believe. So what are we doing? We're actually designing the facility so the diagonal parking space is deep enough to leave the plow blade against the wall in the summer months, but you can still park the vehicle in front of it that it is associated with.
And you can also have vehicles with trailers hooked up, so you're spending less on labor at that point. Disconnecting, reconnecting every day when they're home for parks or whatever it be.
Craig, you had a question or comment?
Looking at the plans here, you're talking about a larger meeting space and a training room. How often do you foresee that being used? The AC, a lot of square footage being used, money being spent, so that it's an empty.
I think we would use it quite often. We have to go everywhere else now. We literally have no space for training, except that those we don't need. And we also please remember that in the future, in the 20-year build-out, you're probably looking at 40 employees there now, too. Full time, so it's not, so it's an additional 60, but it's not like we're a group of 15 people.
So as far as training goes, if I bring in the in-house, you're gonna save less on traveling time, that type of stuff, plus some of these organizations when they do training, they'll give you one or two free seats to that training if you have to hold it at your facility.
Yeah, I think those are things we need to look at. I'm not pushing one way or the other, I think that 8 acres, we should just move on from that. As far as, you know, the big room, some of that's the nice thing about if we get a bigger space, which sounds like that's the direction we're going, we can design this so we can add some of these things on. Because, you know, I'm just telling you right now, Steph, if we can save $1 million, that's 70 grand a year, you're going to be hard pressed to convince me that 70 grand a year is going to be saved by hosting training a couple times a year. So, I'm not opposed to it, knowing that we're going to grow, but maybe that's part of the plan. You know what? We got to build it on in 10 years or something like that, or 15 years. So, other questions that happens?
So in our scenario with CAT, so CAT, we've got a building allocation. Do they have a land allocation that they need, or is it just building?
They do have a land allocation need as well. They have a need for their parking, for all their bus drivers. So their personal vehicles get parked on site to take the actual CAT buses out. They also have storage space needs. Currently they store all their tires, as an example, in a separate structure, which they would like to have indoors. They have it in a shed out in the sycamore area. But a portion of that site, there was also a conversation early on. Remember, we never got under contract. So this was from a very early preliminary meeting that they would also like to obviously have access to fueling, and potentially there could be some reimbursement there on the site. So those things were discussed, and that kind of drove the size of the fueling. So as I suggested earlier, I think we could scale that back. If we knew CAT wasn't coming, it would make sense to have a smaller operation because it only needs to service the village needs, not village and CAT.
So maybe there's an acre or two. It's probably minimal in terms of the land allocation for CAT. but they do need some. Well, I'm actually sure.
Yeah, they're about an acre.
So that, if they weren't to happen, you know, that's something that we consider is they're not quite as much land, but if we go down the path of an agreement with them, we build a cat facility, what happens if cats ends up being not in existence anymore, then we get a 17,000 square foot facility.
And those, Chris, great question. If we go down that path, we'd have to address that.
So do we have any idea of if we're going to enter into an agreement with cats?
I have no clue. Okay. We're dealing with the state, and there's going to be a point where we're just going to say, we're going to do something, they're either on board or not. Yeah. The nice thing is, if we have the land, and they later on say, hey, we want to work, you know what, here, it's going to cost X number of dollars, you pay for it. But, you know, 1 acre for me to say, let's try to make, if we squeeze 1 acre, we're still not going to make that 8 acres.
One acre is not a big.
That's not the deal here, yeah. The deal is the cost of construction. So, well, why don't we do this? We've got some real good feedback. We'll talk with staff, talk with Chris, we'll come up with some ideas, and we'll just have to come back in another, we're just gonna have to, you know, keep talking about this until we get a comfort level. We'll also come back with some ideas, how do you think we could finance this? You know, what would it cost? How would we finance this? Because it's just, this is where we're at. We needed to have the discussion to talk about it for an hour. I'm open to any comments. You know, if you have any direct from the bar, myself. But I think it's time right now. You have one last thing?
One quick one. So with the water stuff, is the new, if we equip a new water tower, is that factored into the project? Or is that additional to the water?
I think that was it.
Because isn't the plan that you want to put in our
water? Let Eric answer that, please.
It's factored into our internal improvements that are needed as an overall part of the cost of the entire project. We have to actually have two times the storage limit that we currently have.
Right.
So that's factored into our internal cost.
So is that factored into what we'll be doing when we, is that factored into the project or is that a separate item?
It's a component of the overall project. We have more than just water towers that are needed for the improvements to look on the lake this year.
It's unrelated to the public works facility.
No, I mean, I was just trying to get an idea if that's an additional item that's coming down the road.
Yep. Okay.
Part of that's under your budget.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was asking.
Give or take 5 to 10 mils somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah. But it's not a billion, right?
Right.
There you go.
Okay, excellent. Good. Good discussion. I appreciate it. It gives us some direction. We know we need to come up with some different options for y'all. We'll continue to work and we'll discuss this again. It's not, we're not going to decide at one meeting, we're not going to decide at 2 meetings, it'll be several meetings. Then we'll plan that A, you're all comfortable, I'll let you all come with, that the majority of us will be comfortable with, and B, we'll come up with later how we think we can finance it, because otherwise I'm not going to present something. If I don't think we can afford it, I'm not going to present it. So, okay, I have nothing else. Like I said, unless any of you really want to go into the executive session, I was not planning on that. Okay, any citizen comments?
I got one.
Well, you want to count as a citizen?
Yes, sir.
Let Mr. Peterson comment.
Oh, I was just going to say, I had somebody from Grand Reserve reach out to me. Is that you, Mr. Todd? All right, go ahead.
Oh, perfect. Just state your name for the record, please.
Good evening. My name is Tom Schmidt. I live in the Grand Reserve subdivision, just moved into the city this year. And I had reached out to the alderman and also to Mr. Olson and thanked them for their quick response and attentiveness. Mr. Peterson suggested I drop by as well in person, and I would ask that the council consider or refer to the appropriate committee, find out what it would take and understand the cost of making the train crossings quiet zones. We, in Grand Reserve itself, went from 440 houses last year up to 520 now, beginning of this year, and the construction continues. That's going to keep going. There's two crossings right in Grand Reserve that I referenced. It was also pointed out to me that there's another one for the BNSF line, so it would make sense to do those two without doing the third, and then there was discussion of another train crossing that's closer to downtown, I believe. My understanding is it's been brought up a few times in the past, and there's anecdotal evidence that it's going to cost this or maybe that. Yorkville, from what I've researched a little bit, has grown something like 25% over the last 5-6 years, and people people say, oh, you get used to the noise. Yes, you get used to the noise. I grew up next to the switching yard for EJ&E in Joliet. You get used to that noise. The first 2 months I lived in my house, I would wake up at 4 a.m. when that train rolled through and was sounding the horn. 10 o'clock at night when that train rolled through and was sounding the horn. I mentioned to Mr. Peterson, there was one night that the train horn got stuck and went literally for half an hour as it parked and they worked on fixing it. So I just wanted to make the request. I know there's costs involved, I know it's time, but at least start the process to look and see what would it take with the growing population to get those crossings turned into quiet zones. It would be a significant improvement in quality of life for the residents in Grand Reserve and the rest of Yorkville. I know that sound carries. It's never going to be 100% quiet. We're still going to hear the train, but man, that horn is several times in the evening, during the day, at night. And just want to put that request before the council.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Any other comments from the public? No executive sessions or motion to adjourn?
So,
Mr. Peterson, second by Solling, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all. Have a Merry Christmas.